Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. Notice he talks about submitting to one another is clothing in humility. In other words, he's saying, your idea isn't always right. I don't want to cause marital strife, but it don't always have to be your idea. Look what he says. He repeats it. Our statement from last week. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Now, he repeats that several times in the Bible. You need to wake up and realize this is important. When God repeats himself, it's important. And so God is repeating himself in several different books. In both Old and New Testament, he makes that statement. Therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you will be with us. I pray you'll touch us. Help us, Lord. God, I pray that you will reveal yourself to us. In your name we pray. Amen. Now, this is the second part of last week's sermon. If you weren't here last week, I encourage you to read. We really talked about the difference between humility and pride, okay, and how Satan has kind of twisted things, all right? But I want to start with humility. I want to just do a review so that we get on the same page. Humility is literally, in the Greek, it means lowliness of mind and thinking. That is not poor mouthing. We talked about that last. Well, I'm no good. I'm terrible. That is not humility. The lowliness of mind, I showed you through Scripture last week, was that it is agreeing with God. That is a humble mind, agreeing with God's opinion. No, a humble person knows who they are because God told them who they are. But they also know they did nothing to get it. I am a blood-bought son of the Most High God. I am a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Daddy likes me. He loves me. He's for me, and he likes me, and I know I did nothing to earn that. All right, that was a total humble statement. All right? A humble person submits to God's opinion easily. Remember, we submit to God's opinion easily. God's opinion is more. Prideful people say, brother, I know the Bible says, but. Well, you just let your butt overload you. Right? Because you have just stepped into pride. And when we walk in pride, what's the verse? God resists the proud. A humble person submits to God's word easily. A humble person loves to honor others. Honoring others. A lot of people have problems with jealousy and all these things and celebrating others' victories because they're prideful. You know? Humble people love to honor other people and celebrate their victories and are glad for them. Let me just quickly, so get you on the same page, let me go back to my list last week. Humility, are you looking, everybody look up here. Humility is depending on God. Pride is depending on self. Lowliness of thinking is humility. I got this. I can handle this. That's prideful thinking. I have no right to be here. See, I recognize, man, I have no right. Nothing in my flesh has a right to be in the presence of God. Well, prideful people always, always, always compare themselves to other people. I ain't as bad as Brother Dan. Look at all that stuff he did. And we always try to pervertedly make ourselves feel better about ourselves because we compare ourselves to other people. That's what prideful people do. You're looking for some reason to feel good about your sorry self. Can I get a witness? Look what it says. God's love expects me. I'm expected to be in His presence. He expects me to talk to Him. Nobody loves me. Nobody cares. I'm all alone. I hear men say that all the time like it's some big bad thing. You know, I've been alone my whole life. I take care of myself. I handle my business. Well, you're a ding-dong. Because you just said, God, come on. Bring it on. Because God resists the proud. Humble people boast on God. Prideful people boast on themselves. Humble people delight in God's word. Prideful people take God's word as one of the options. Well, what does God say? What does Aunt so-and-so say? What is it? All right, well, this is the decision I'm going to go with. Humble people say, God, your word says, and so that settles it. That's what humble people. Now, in this different scripture than we used last week, He gave us the same command, humble yourself. But He gets a little more specific. What does that look like? Well, first of all, He gives us a command. He adds to it. He says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Under the mighty hand of God. The hand of God. See, when we say that, I know what image pops up in your head. You're thinking of, like, I love to watch Matthew. I used to love to watch all my sons. You know, I think animal, let me just say this. I think wildlife talks to each other. I really do. I think, like, when all my sons were little, they all had BB guns because my dad, in his infinite grandparent, whatever grandparents think, you know, get insanity, grandparent insanity, felt like a 5-year-old should have a BB gun. So at 5 years old, he bought them all BB gun. I'm thinking this is a bad thing. Well, I think the birds and they stopped flying over our 5 acres because if a bird had landed on a tree, there's your bird out there. They shooting BBs all over the place. Same with frogs. You know, when we finally find a frog, they torture it. And you know the way they do it. The way you capture a frog, and I'm going somewhere with this. You do this. They get on their knees and they cup it. Under the mighty hand of God. And then they play with it, torture it a little bit. And most of the time it dies. Now that's what most people think. That's what they sound like. And it's because their view of God. They think God is this hard taskmaster under the mighty hand of God. And that's not what it means at all. But that's why it depends on your view of God. Some of you grew up in religion where God was angry at you. Well, let me tell you something. If you think God is angry at you, then you have a puny, sorry, no good God. Because if God is against you, you should have been got a long time ago. Right? My God's big. He can turn you into dust in a heartbeat. He ain't against us. The Bible says that He poured out His wrath on His Son, Jesus Christ, for our sins. Here's what it looks like. Why don't you let the Bible interpret the Bible? Psalm 17:8 says this. Look at it. Keep me as the apple of your eye. You know what that means? The apple of your eye, the center of your attention. God's paying attention to you. Hide me under the shadow of your wings. Let me tell you what I think that verse says. It says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Let me give you the visual what I think of. Anybody in here ever had to slam on brakes and your children went in the car? What was the first thing you did? Boom. Automatic. Even though we got these wonderful, airbags, boom. When things are around, the uncertainty, fear, or whatever, I grab my children and I put them right there on my hip, right there. I feel like somebody's threatening, I take my wife and my children and I put them right there under the shadow of my wing. Humble yourself. You know what it means to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God? Why does He want you to do that? He wants you close. He wants you to understand. He wants you to know, first of all, that He's got you. He wants to guide you, protect you, help you, bless you. All those promises that are in Jesus. So He wants you close to do that. I come out from under His covering. I am making an announcement. And some of you have made this announcement. You say, I ain't never done that. Well, sure you do. The spirit world all announces what we do. Ain't no secrets. When I come out from under His hand, I am declaring to Him, to the world, and to the devil, I got this. I can handle life on my own. I can handle that hurt. I can handle that fight. I got this. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. The humble say, God. The humble, when He says, humble yourself, you ought to sing that old hymn every day. I need Thee every hour, most precious Lord. I need You, Lord. I can't make those decisions. I can't raise these kids. I can't do that. I can't do this, Lord, without You. See, when you declare you can, God lets you. One of the greatest examples, and she's my wife of 30-something years. You know, when you get over 30, it kind of gets blurry, doesn't it? I can't believe I've been doing anything for 30 years. I've been pastoring for 33, 4 years, whatever. I watched my wife when we had 7, 9 and under. I watched my wife on the edge of her bed say these words every morning. Lord, I don't think I can do what I need to do out that door. I don't know what's waiting for me. But I know Your grace is sufficient for me. What was she doing? She was humbling herself under the mighty hand of God. God, listen to me, God gives grace to the humble. You need to figure out what it looks like to be humble. He gives grace to the people that recognize, I need You. And then He goes further on this thing. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. And He says, casting all your cares upon Me because He cares for you. Upon Him because He cares for you. Part of being humble is casting your cares. It's casting your thing. If I am carrying my cares, I am not under His hand. That's what the verse there means. If I am carrying my own burdens. That's why He says, be anxious for nothing. Care. Look at this word. This is incredible. That word care. Can you put that verse up there? Back up the first, second verse, whatever. You don't have to. Yeah, there you go. Look at what it says, verse 7. Everybody look at it. Notice it comes right after, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. He'll exalt you. The way you do that is casting all your, look at the word, care upon Him. Not cares, care. That word right there, you can go to the words now. That word right there is a combination of two Greek words. Listen to this now. This is amazing. It's a combination of two Greek words. Look what it says. It means to divide the mind. Cares, when you carry cares, it makes you double-minded. You ever heard a verse that says, that man that's double-minded, don't let him think he'll get anything from the Lord? It makes you double-minded. It literally means distractions, anxieties, worries, anxious beforehand. I'm worried. I'm anxious beforehand. My care. Anybody here, got, if you got a teenager, you got a care. I mean, listen, I had 7 teenagers in my house at one time. Every Friday night was a prayer meeting for me and Amy. Lord, wherever they are. Do you understand that we're all going to have care? Things that will worry you, distract you, get you double-minded. And he says, cast those cares on me. That word casting means to throw them on, to throw it on. Let me show you. I want to show you this, okay? I want you to see this so that you understand. It's a simple little illustration, but it sings. It does right, okay? So, where is Jacob? He was in here. Did he go to lunch early? No, never mind. I got him tomorrow. I'll get somebody. I need somebody. A tiny. Where's Molly? Come here, Molly. You're tiny. She's so excited about me calling her up. Look at her. She is brimming. She's like, I'm going to kill you, Brother Allen. Come on. This is fun. Okay. All right. Micah, come up here. Since she's sitting on the front row, be easy. This is Molly. She is normal Christian girl. Normal Christian. Normal American Christian. Okay? This is the Paraclete. This is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the Paraclete. Yeah, you're proud, aren't you? Yeah. Usually I call Micah to be the devil, but he gets to be the Holy Spirit today. And so Micah is the Holy Spirit. He has attached himself. That's what the Bible says. The Paraclete attaches himself to you. Okay? So normal Christian, walk over there, Molly. Look, Paraclete's right with her. Walk over here, Molly. Walk back. Look. He stays right with her. Wherever you go, what does Psalms 139 say? Wherever I go, if I go into the depths of hell, your hand is still with me. So here's what happens. Normal American Christian. Come on, Molly. The cares of this world. Wait. Before we do that, we got to put these on. Come on, Molly. I got friends. I got stuff. I got school. Oh, my gracious. Look, here. Pick those two up. Here, I'll just put this over your neck. Yeah. Pick them up. You can do it. Okay. Now, Molly. Walk that way. Look at Molly's kind of waddling, isn't she? Molly, come back. Hey, you can't quit. Now you're too young to quit. You're gonna fall. Okay, you can set those down now. Molly gets turned on by the Holy Spirit, and she hears an incredible sermon by a pastor on casting your cares. And she begins to realize, I don't have to do this. So she throws them on to the paraclete. She starts letting him carry. How many of you think that he could carry more than her? And so now he says, Molly, I got this. And so now Molly walks and he's carrying her burdens. He carries. It's not that her burdens disappear. She just got somebody that's taking care of them and walking through life with her. You see that? All right. Put them down over here. Tell me you love me, Molly. Come on, tell me you're excited to be part of the illustration. I have people all the time, don't ever call me up there. All right, here's the problem. We don't know how to do that. He says, humble yourself. I got this. He gives us a command. Don't worry. And yet we're still medicating ourselves because we're stressed out. We're too busy. We're too active. We're too crazy. And we can't handle life. We're falling like flies. I'm talking about Christians now. It's because we're trying to walk in our own pride. I can't carry this burden, man. I can't pastor this church. I don't know what I'm doing. I ain't never been a part of a church this big. Man, if you think I got it all together, man, they're all daily. I said, Lord, if there's a better candidate, I'm willing. You. There are three things I want to give you real quick. How do we cast? Number one, know God is there and He is big. Wow. Know God is there and He is big. I want to go back to this. Some of you are so prideful, you think you got God figured out. Some of you are so religious, you think you can answer every question. And I want you to know, if you can figure out your God is too small. If you got it all under control, you know every answer. Your God's way too small. God is the God of the universe. I don't even understand that His Word is still, they're finding more universes. You know why? Because God's Word is still creating. I don't even understand that. That's why praise and worship is so important. You got to get your God bigger than anything around you. Our God is God. He's big. You got to know that. That's why praise and worship and memorizing Scripture. Number two, you got to pray to the big God. See, please don't ever say this to me. I might throw my Bible at you. I don't know. But when you say, well, we've done all we can do, I guess we need to pray. Okay, that lets me know that you're a prideful person. I'm going to handle this. I got this. We're so steeped in worry. I mean, I watch mamas do it all the time. Their little kid gets a cough. Oh my God. You reckon he's got bronchitis? I don't know. You know, I heard some, you know, this strain was going around of the flu. We better go to the doctor right now. When all the dude just swallowed the gnat. That's all it was. Got a little extra protein. But if you're a person that's trying to control, that means you got to figure it out. You got to learn to pray to a big God. Ephesians 4, look at this. This is incredible. This is incredible. Ephesians 4, 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing. If you're worried about it, that means you're carrying it. I can't put it no more plainly. If you're anxious and worried and you're replaying it all the time, you're replaying that scene, all that stuff all the time, you're worried about it. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, in prayer and supplication, I am going to a big God who I know is with me. He is here with thanksgiving. The best way I could describe thanksgiving is Tinkerbell's pixie dust. You got to sprinkle thanksgiving. God, I thank you. You're with me. I thank you. It's your happy thought. I thank you, God, that you love me. You cared for me. You died for me. God, thank you. You've never let me down. And all of a sudden you find yourself flying. Stop. My wife's making fun of me. I don't much look like Tinkerbell, I understand. Yeah. Man, that's live stream too. That's on the internet. Tinkerbell. But look what it says. It says, I'm coming to this big God, and I'm going to pray, and I'm going to let my supplications be known to him, because I am thankful he's alive, he's well, he's big, he answers prayers. We've seen several prayers answered in this room. We celebrated answered prayers this morning. Let your request be made known to God. And when that's rolling it over onto God, and when you do, look what happens. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. Why are you so peaceful? I don't know. I can't explain it to you. Will guard your heart and mind. You know what that word guard means? It means, in the Greek, it means to garrison. It means God sends a company of his angels and they garrison, they make camp around your heart and your mind. When I daily do that, I lay my burdens. It's a process, y'all. Can't do it one time. It's a daily life. All of a sudden, peace floods my soul. God, you got this. God, you're in charge. The politicians are not in charge. You are. God, you're going to take care of your remnant. Then all of a sudden, you're able to do number three, which is help someone else. You need to be serving. You need to be giving. You need to be helping other people. You need to be serving in this church. You need to give your wife away, because what happens when you look at somebody else, what happens? You immediately have to take your eyes off yourself and you focus. Now I don't become selfish. I am selfless. And all of a sudden, cares begin to fly off. Well, it'll be all right. We're going to make it through. We've made it through before. I was thinking about it. This week, see, God makes me live out my stuff. That's why I don't understand preachers that. Anyway, it's another story. I told Amy, I made this proclamation to my wife. We are going, after I just paid all the bills, we are going to have a good month financially. It was awesome. And she went, really? I said, yeah, look, I mean, it's a good month. 3 hours later, my son walks in and said, Dad, my truck air conditioner ain't working and something's rattling back there in the back. I said, what? And he said, the wheel, and I went, oh, my God. I said, Eric, oh. So our financial good month went in just a few hours. You know what me and Amy did? Instead of getting mad, we said, Lord, you've been doing it this long. I don't know why you quit now. You provided, why would you stop? And so we laughed about it. The peace of God guarding your heart. I could have easily got mad. You see what I'm saying? If you don't allow the Lord to heal you, and I just want to, helping someone else helps me focus on something else, keeping my eyes on God. Last one, thing he says in that verse, he said, listen, I want you to hear this now. This is important. He said, be sober and vigilant. He ain't talking about not getting drunk. Although he talks in another place about not getting drunk, so don't get drunk. But that ain't what he's saying right here. He's saying, be sober and vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, is walking around. He's pacing like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Look at me now. He is looking for an easy meal. You ever watch Animal Kingdom? Animal Kingdom, I mean, the lions hardly ever hunt. They wait for some sickly, can't keep up with the pack, hurt, loner. I don't need church. I don't need no... it's online now. I don't have to come... you know? I don't need... That's who say... That's an easy meal. What does be watchful mean? Don't let yourself be overburdened and out from under his hand. Be careful. I felt like the Lord spoke to me a couple of prophetic words. I'm going to go on giving. I could prophesy over some of you this morning. Right now, I could call some of you out and give you this word. You're too busy. You're too busy, and I'm not talking about things that are bad. I'm talking about you're too busy for the things of God, the things that rejuvenate you, the things of the kingdom. I'm too busy to have a quiet time. I'm too busy to be in a life group. Too busy to be in a life group when God commands us to stay in community. Satan gets you out there alone. You know, and look, I know what, don't even attempt to argue with me. I've watched this stuff for 30-something years. People get out there, they get too busy, they get all this, and all of a sudden, they get lost, and now they're gone. They're out of church, they're out of their family, they're out of everything. All because they weren't watchful. They started caring about life and handling life. Because Satan's looking for an easy meal. Prophetically, I know some of you have taken on cares that are draining you. Some of you have taken on the offense of others. You're offended at someone else. Some of you are carrying burdens. Look at me now. Man, I saw this so clear this morning in my prayer time. Some of you are carrying burdens. I listened to a guy that, a while back. He's not from here. I was talking to him and he said somebody sent him to me and he's telling me a story and it's real. He is in time. He is there as he's telling me this story of abuse and hurt and neglect, and it's a horrible story, and he is there. And I said, when did this happen to you? He said, 37 years ago. How long are you going to carry that care? God says, forgive. God has said, I'm sorry those things happened, but Satan, those things will weight you down. Do you see? I mean, I had a picture. I just didn't take time because I wanted to get Molly running with these things. She can't run with those cares. Sooner or later, she will find herself alone And that's when Satan devours. That's why he says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Don't get out from under the shadow of my wing. He ain't scared of Satan. But he understands that alone we are no match for him. Does that make sense? Some of you are carrying burdens for years. Some of you are carrying your family burdens. You're carrying your business burdens. You're carrying all these things. And man, you cannot do it. That's why we're so tired and broken and just can't do the things of God. We can't dream anymore. We're just trying. I heard a guy, I discovered YouTube. I didn't know it was out there. Just amazing. But I watched this guy on America's Got Talent. And he made a statement. And man, I started weeping because I saw the church. He said, you cannot dream if you're just trying to survive. See, if you're carrying all them burdens, you're just trying to take the next step, survive. You can't dream. This morning, God wants you to cast your cares on him. Let's pray.